Hello, Kev here. No Tom today. This is ostensibly a chance for me to test my new microphone, but I'm going to call it an in-between cast and do it about my top 5 miniature skirmish games. So as you probably gathered from the first couple of episodes, I'm more of the miniature gamer, whereas Tom is more of a traditional board gamer. So this is a perfect opportunity on my own to introduce some of the types of games that I'm really interested in. And I'm going to present it as a top 5 list, and it's going to be a little bit of an introduction for some episodes I'm going to do with Tom later down the road. So before I continue, I suppose I'd better define what a skirmish game is, or more particularly, what a miniature skirmish game is. So as you might expect, it involves little miniatures, usually 28 or 32 millimeter scale. And these are the kind of things you'll see in any Games Workshop or Warhammer store up and down the country. But things have moved on, and things are a lot more interesting than that pure, grimdark Warhammer 40,000 world, although that does feature in my list. So a miniature skirmish game involves a small number of models, by small, typically between 5 and 15 models, as opposed to maybe 40 or 50 in a full-scale army game. It'll have some kind of combat against the other player, although some games are solitaire experiences. It will generally have a shorter playtime, falling anywhere between 30 minutes to about 2.5 hours. That's where I'd put a miniature skirmish game as opposed to a full-scale army game, which is probably going to be a full day or at least 3 to 4 hours. Also, they'll have way more complex rules typically for the individual units. So instead of having a squad of maybe 20 soldiers, which all share very similar rules, each individual model's typically a character and has very thematic rules modelled on the behaviour that that unit would take in the real world. So with that bit of a definition in place, I'm going to introduce you to my top 5. So in my number 5 spot is a game called Carnivali, which is a really thematic game of Renaissance Venice. So set in the 1700s, except it's an alternate Renaissance Venice. One where there's been a giant rent in the sky has opened and all kinds of magic has now inhabited this world. So you've got sea monsters coming out of the canals, you've got magicians, Baba Yaga even makes an appearance. And it's a real narrative game. And what makes this particularly interesting is one thing that unites all skirmish games is that they are typically played on a 3-foot by 3-foot or a 4-foot by 4-foot playing surface. Now, in this game, there are lots of different maps. Even, I think, 1-foot by 2-foot, so like simulating an alley fight. So there's lots and lots of different ways to play. It doesn't really have a competitive scene, so if you're into a real competitive meta game, then this isn't for you. But the miniatures are fantastic, really interesting to paint, really imaginative, and it's a good place to start because there's an active online community, and it's something that's pretty simple, and you can pick up a copy of the base game and get started with friends in a couple of afternoons. So at number 4, it's a bit of a controversial pick because there's going to be some debate as to whether this is actually a skirmish game or not. But for me, it checks all the boxes. And it's one that Tom and I have actually played in the past. And that is the Games Workshop game of Blood Bowl. So think American football, gridiron, but with orcs and all kinds of the magical fantasy creatures that Games Workshop are famous for. It's played on a board, so it fits that small playing surface. You've got a squad of miniatures that are produced by Games Workshop and also all kinds of third-party 3D printable files that you can get. And the rules are pretty simple, but provide lots of strategy. Now, again, it's a dice game, so it's very swingy, but it's a game of maximising your odds and minimising risk. So in the game, you will want to make a pass. Now, if you've got a load of clumsy orcs or trolls, they're not going to be very good at passing. So what you want to do is smash as many skulls as possible with that team before trying to pass the ball. As soon as you make a fail of any kind, you fail a tackle or you fail to pick up the ball, play passes to the other player. So with a wood elf team that are very light and nimble, you'd want to do the opposite of that. You'd want to try and do all your running and dodging and passing before you try and take out any of the opposition. So it's really tactical, and I've never played a game of Blood Bowl without both players almost in tears with laughter. It's great fun. At number 3, we've got a more unusual game called Gaslands Refueled, and it's unusual because all you can buy from the publisher is the rule book. You've got to provide all the miniatures and components yourself, and that game is Gaslands Refueled by Osprey Games. Now, the rulebook describes it as a post-apocalyptic vehicular mayhem game. In other words, Mad Max Demolition Derby. You get the idea. So you will provide little Matchbox or Hot Wheels cars from a toy store or the supermarket, and the players of this game will modify them to make them look really post-apocalyptic, although you could just do this with straight Hot Wheels cars out of your kid's toy box. It uses some skid templates and skid dice. So these are little movement gauges. And basically, if you drive slowly, you're going to lose the race. But if you drive slowly, you can make complex manoeuvres. If you drive fast, you're more likely to win, but then you're more likely to crash. So there's a really clever way of that the game models momentum. And you really got to play it to feel the benefit of it. But again, it's a super fun game. As far as I know, there's no competitive scene to it at all. But it provides some great opportunities to be creative with the models and also have lots of fun in a simple kitchen table game that doesn't take up a huge amount of room. And number two, I've got a game which many of you will be expecting when I talk about combat skirmish games, and that is by Games Workshop, and it's Warhammer 40,000 Kill Team, or Kill Team 21 as it's also known, because it's now in its second edition. So this is a really healthy place at the moment. It's got a competitive meta. It's pretty well balanced, especially for a Games Workshop game, because the cynic would say that Games Workshop will often sell a game and then sell you a codex to sell more models. This is actually pretty well balanced, and it's receiving regular erratas and FAQs for that competitive environment. But that said, you can get into the game for about £50 by picking up a starter set, and then you can expand from there. I like games such as this, where you're not spending hundreds and hundreds of pounds on models. You can buy a team for Blood Bowl for £25. You can buy a kill team for Kill Team for another £25 or £30, and you can take it as far as you want. There will be some players who are buying multiple boxes and min-maxing their squads to get the absolute best odds, but the average player, and certainly casuals, just don't bother with any of that. And £55, you can get into the game with a starter set and have some really satisfying experiences. What is a bit weird about it is all these games typically move in inches. This uses symbols, so for example, 1 inch is represented by a triangle, and I do question why the designer has chosen to use a triangle for 1 inch rather than 3 inches, but there we go. So there are a few quirks, such as the line of sight and obscuring rules are really clunky, but so kind of makes sense once you've played it a little bit. It's a game that plays out quickly. It's got a competitive side if you want it, and one big advantage of this, unlike many of the others that I've mentioned, is that every game store and independent in the land will have a kill team scene. So if you want to play competitively, or maybe you don't have friends that you can play at home with, or friends that are interested in this kind of thing, there'll be a scene very near you, and it's one that's really recommended. And in my number one spot is a game which is very close to my heart. I play it every week, if not more than once a week, and that is the game of Malifaux by Weird Miniatures. This, as far as I'm concerned, is the pinnacle of miniature skirmish games. It's set in an alternate Victorian universe where a breach has opened on Earth, and the people have gone through to an unknown land called Malifaux. In Malifaux, they found a deserted landscape, and there they can mine soul stones, which can bring back fantastic powers and magical abilities to the people on Earth. The lore is really deep, but the long and short of it is, after a small time of going back and forth through the breach, the people of Earth find that Malifaux, after all, wasn't uninhabited, and actually, there's a whole world of creatures known as the Neverborn that live over there. From this, the lore goes very, very deep. There's weekly podcasts about it. But the long and short is there's 8 factions you can choose from. There's over 750 models in the game. Unbelievably, they managed to balance it. And you can say if you lose a game of Malifaux, it's pretty much your fault. There's so many things that make this a rich, deep, interesting experience. But to just pick a few things which are really unusual about it, it uses cards instead of dice. So basically a standard deck of cards. At the start of your turn, you'll draw 6 cards. That's your hand of fate. And then when you're trying any kind of skill test in the game, whether that's picking up an objective or fighting an enemy, or maybe trying to get a spell to go off, you'll draw a card off the top of your deck to try and meet a certain ability value. If it doesn't go off, then you can cheat fate from your hand of cards, and your opponent can do the same. So pretty much every turn, you can guarantee that one very powerful and thematic thing will happen in your game. So you can say that if you lose a game, pretty much you can't blame the dice, you can't blame the cards. There's been so many flips, it's just a case of your priorities. What another thing is brilliant about this game is absolutely everything is a resource in the game, from the action points on your models, the number of models, the cards in your hand, the suits even matter because different suits have different triggers, the amount of movement that you have. It's just such a deep, deep game, and it's got an active tournament scene. It's an amazing experience, and the range of models is just mind-blowing. Everything from welders to journalists to cowboys to ice monsters to old witches, gremlins. It has a little bit of everything. And the quality of the models is absolutely top class. They're a completely different aesthetic to the likes of Games Workshop, which tend to be a little bit more cartoony. These are very slender, much more difficult to put together, probably a more challenging hobby project. But if you've got the time, then Malifaux is the way to go. It's incredible. It's even got a way you can play online through an active Vassal community. So there is a recommendation. So if any of this sounds interesting and you want to get involved in a skirmish game, then probably the best thing to do is to go down to your local games club and just see what the active scene is there, because it's all very well having the best game in the world, but if you've got no one to play it with, then that's not such a great option. But if you just wanted to get started at home, perhaps with friends or family, then a good place to start is with a company called One Page Rules. Now, this is quite unusual, and this company makes its money through selling STLs or 3D printable model files, and they've released a whole ecosystem of Games Workshop alike rule sets, which are much simpler, and the idea were that they were played on one page. Instead of having a big thick rule book, it's the essence of a game has been condensed down to one page. Now, there's an equivalent for Kill Team called Grimdark Future Firefight. It misses a lot of the nuance, in my opinion, but it gives you a feel for it if you've never played one of these games, and it's something you can just get some coins to represent miniatures, get some pepper pots to represent terrain. You can have a go on your kitchen table and see whether it's for you. But to me, a lot of the love of these games is in the miniatures and the hobby themselves, the stories they take. And if that's your jam, there's even games such as a Walking Dead game where it has a fantastic solo mode. The game will set up zombies, which are perfect for AI or automata, and they will follow their own movement rules, trying to achieve objectives, or rather block you from objectives. And that's just been re-released, so maybe it's something that if you don't have players in your local environment or meta, then you could look into that. So to conclude, there's a lot to love about miniature skirmish games, from the relatively low cost of entry to get started. At least these things can always spiral out of control, particularly if you're the kind of collector that wants to pick up one of every single faction. But the playtime is relatively low compared to big army games, and a really encouraging feature which may have put many people off from Warhammer-type full army-scale games is the I-go, you-go mechanic. So you move a model, and then the opponent moves a model. So not only are you kept engaged throughout the whole experience, but it makes the tactics much more interesting because things can change between every single activation. To me, the idea of painting up an entire army and then sitting back because I lost the initiative roll for my opponent to take a 40-minute turn in which he deletes two of my units before they've even got to do anything, that doesn't appeal to me at all. Another thing that appeals to me a great deal about skirmish games is the painting and hobby aspect of it. It feels way more achievable to have eight people in your team, all of which have their own character and personality and specialist jobs to do. In fact, in the game of Kill Team, they're even called operatives or specialists, so they all have a unique position. Whereas in a large full-scale army game, you might have a unit of 30 goblin archers or 20 kind of a zombie horde. Now, to paint all that up is going to take a huge amount of time. Boredom's going to set in. And just from a practical point of view, you've got to drop your standards a little bit to just get it done to a tabletop standard. Whereas skirmish games, you feel that bit more connected to your miniatures. You've got less of them. Each of them typically have their own story. In the case of Malifaux, literally every single model will have a short story attached to it, so you can really get into the lore and the feel of these things, and you feel much more attached to a unit that you've spent 3 hours painting rather than archer number 53. So that's a big draw to me. Another thing that skirmish games allow compared to full-scale army games is way more complex rules. Now, that doesn't have to be the case. There are much more simple ones. Blood Bowl, for example, strategically very deep, but from an actual mechanical rules point of view, very simple to play. Same with Gaslands, really simple. But if you want complexity and choice and opportunity to really play a tight game, then something like Malifaux or Kill Team or perhaps Warcry to a lesser extent gives you way more opportunity to have all these tactics that play into each other, models bouncing off each other, combos going off. Whereas in a full-scale army game, because there's so many models, it has to be simplified to a certain extent. Yes, a unit may have some interesting mechanics, but the individual models, maybe the odd champion, are just going to be simpler. So this is much better for a person who enjoys kind of almost a Magic the Gathering-esque feel of selecting a team, picking miniatures and combinations to play against an opponent. Now, my next point is going to be perhaps a little bit controversial, but it's worth noting, as Tom hinted at it in one of the first episodes that we did, in that he said, I'm a bit sceptical of these miniatures games because it conjures the image of the sweaty Warhammer shop. Now, it wasn't so long ago that board gaming had the same kind of image, particularly when they were branded as strategy games, and you thought of, you know, the 70s D&D nerd. Now, things have moved on in all of these hobbies so much, and it's exactly the same with the miniature skirmish games. Now, I don't doubt that up and down there are episodes of bad behaviour, saltiness, and probably poor personal hygiene in some stores. But if you have a quick look on YouTube, you'll see loads of examples of really bad behaviour on these full-scale army games. And I don't know, anecdotally, whether there's something to do with the size of the scale, the pressure that the individual hobbyists are under. They've spent all this time making a unit of, you know, an army of 2,000 points with maybe 100 models. The stakes are that a bit higher. They want to do well. They've finally got out of the hobby room to put this together. So the second things start going badly, particularly on a look-based game, such as Warhammer 40,000, that's probably controversial calling it a look-based game. But if you chuck in, you know, 20 D6s, then you can't argue that there isn't an element of luck there. Then when the dice don't go your way, some bad behaviour comes out, and there's loads of stories on podcasts and YouTube channels talking about that. Now, in my experience, I haven't seen any of that in the Malifaux community. Now, that's either because it's a smaller and probably older crowd. I'd say the average age of that I'm playing with is maybe 28 to 35, as opposed to some late teens in the Warhammer world. So maybe there's a maturity element. But I also think there's an element of not dumping on your own doorstep. Malifaux is such a small world in that there's maybe 300 to 400 active players that are playing tournaments in the UK. If you're behaving badly, then you're soon going to be ostracised by that community. And I think it's the same with some of the other skirmish games. The smaller communities. It's not like you can go into any games workshop in the land and play a game and just do the same next week. So I think the communities hold themselves to maybe a higher standard, some of the larger army scales. Now, that might be a controversial take. That's where I've seen. Or maybe I've just been lucky and that I've had really universally positive experiences in all of these smaller scale games. But either way, I absolutely love them. It's what really excites me, to the point where I now, my full-time job is I run a business called Tabletop Upgrades, and the vast majority of products are for the two games that I love the most in the world, which are, well, two game systems, which are miniature skirmish games. I produce all kinds of wound trackers and measuring sets and token sets, and also Arkham Horror. I produce a huge range of high-quality accessories for that. So I'm lucky that I get to live and breathe these games, and that's by choice, because to me, they are absolutely fantastic. They provide so many great stories and good friends, and I can't encourage you enough than to give them a go. And I hope you enjoy them as much as I do. And I'll see you in the next one, where Tom's going to join me, and we're going to talk about a whole smorgasbord of the kind of things that we always do, things that excite us in the world of tabletop. But this has given you a little insight into my world and what I'm hoping to be sharing with Tom across the future episodes. So before I go, I'm just going to do a new thing now, which is to encourage you to share this podcast, because we're still trying to grow it. And now we are on Apple, Amazon and Spotify. So whatever your favourite podcatcher is, we should be there now, thanks to Tom's magic with his audio editing and listing. So if you subscribe there, it'd be a huge help to us. It helps us get the word out. Thank you for listening. Share us if you like this. and we'll see you in the next one.